I'd like to welcome you, but first we should bring the Environment, Natural Resources, Policy, and Finance Committee to order, and we have the minutes of March 29th. Representative Johnson, Representative Clark Johnson, have you happened to see the minutes and review them, or?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have, and I move those minutes.
Oh, thank you. All right, discussion to the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are adopted. Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Keel, go ahead, come forward. Ms. Lewis, I think I saw you hiding somewhere. There you are. Welcome. Representative Hancock, would you like to move House File 3401? I believe you've got a bill. I thought I saw you in mining. Yes, yeah, you. I thought you have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 3401 to move to mining.
To Ways and Means.
Ways and Means, excuse me.
Thank you. I saw you.
My ears aren't
in. I saw you in mining, that's why I mentioned mining. Thank you. So, Representative Keel, your bill is before us with the intention to pass and move on to Ways and Means. Welcome. And then, Ms. Lewis, if you could identify yourself for the record, that'd be great.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members, Kathy Lewis, Lands and Minerals, DNR.
Okay. And Ms. Lewis, you're the assistant director, right? So we get the title right. Thank you. Welcome. Representative Keel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm going to make this real simple. Other than we need to, we have one amendment we need to place into the bill, which would be A-16.
Representative Keel, Representative Eklund, I believe you have the A-16 amendment.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Eklund moves the A-16 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. And Ms. Lewis, you've seen the amendment and you're good with it?
Mr. Chair, yes, the DNR has reviewed the amendment. It's a parcel in the city of Silver Bay. It has no natural resource concerns. It's a fiscal issue that I understand the county board is in support of.
Thank you. Any discussion to the A-16? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendments adopted. The bill's in the shape the author would like. Representative Keel, do you have anything to say, or do you want Ms. Lewis to do a walkthrough?
You know, we always let the experts speak. So, yes. Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Ms. Lewis, welcome. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, this is the Omnibus Lands Bill. It combines the DNR land bill with 14 other bills, so it affects 14 other counties. So it's a large tax forfeited land sales make up a good portion of the bill. Would you like section by section, Mr. Chair?
Ms. Lewis, you should walk through the entire bill because it does have significant fiscal. So I would like you to walk through each section. Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The section 1 of the bill, and you'll also see the legal description in section 12, is from the DNR. This designates the waste site just north of Stillwater. It's been a DOT waste site, and it's been transferred to DNR, and this makes it a formal DNR waste site. Section 2 of the bill is Centennial State Forest. The legal descriptions are in section 13 of the bill. This would be a new state forest. It's recognizing the 100th anniversary of the Division of Forestry. Most of the lands were donated to the DNR, and there's also some school trust lands in this forest. Section 3 of the bill comes from House File 3201, which is Representative Lewick's bill. It is a technical provision that identifies that when a party purchases DNR land, they pay the recording fees and deed tax. And Section 4 likewise does that for the acquired lands. Section 5 of the bill is from the DNR. This is a technical change for we sell small slivers of bond finance property, and the bond council changed their interpretation of the law that said we need a full appraisal for low-value property, and this allows us to use our abbreviated appraisal process for low-valued bond property. Section 6, 7, and 8 of the bill is from Representative Lewick's bill, House File 3201. This changes the expedited land exchange process. I believe you heard a similar bill yesterday in committee, but this is the DNR expedited land exchange process. Section 9 of the bill is from House File 3238, Representative Metz's bill. And sections 9 and 10 are from that bill, and that concerns St. Louis County Lakeshore properties, and it amends a previous law that gives them more flexibility as to sales and two surveys. And likewise, Section 11 also is for St. Louis County, that same lakeshore process. Section 12, again, is our St. Croix boom site, wayside with a legal description. Section 13 is our Centennial State Forest legal description. Section 14, Subdivision 1, is a deletion from the Mille Lacs Catheo State Park. This is from the DNR. This is to allow an expansion of a cemetery. Subdivision 2 of Section 14 is Zippo Bay State Park. This comes from Representative Fabian, and this deletes 240s of private-owned land from the boundary of the state park. Section 15 is DNR's language. It is from the result of the Zach Zim land exchange last year in St. Louis County, and this takes the school trust parcels that we obtained through the land exchange and places them into designated state forests. Section 16 is from House File 3198, Representative Whelan's bill. It concerns a parcel of land in Anoka County that was part of the former regional treatment center. And what it does is remove reversionary restrictions on the land so that the county can use the land for veterans housing. The DNR received, as part of that transaction, 1998, a scenic easement on the land to protect the Rum River. That scenic easement stays in place. This law does not change that. Section 17 and 18 of the bill is from House File 2858, Representative Hancock's bill, and its sale of tax-forfeited land in Beltrami County. Section 19 is from House File 3232, Representative Nash, and its sale of tax-forfeited land in Carver County. Section 20 is from the DNR. This is the Heartland State Trail north of Walker, and this is the issue about the steamboat loop that you may have heard about in the past. This authorizes the DNR to basically continue an offer from 1998, adjusted for inflation, to offer to the local owners the trail area when we get the alignment approved and change the alignment of the Heartland Trail in that location. Section 21 is from House File 3018. It's from Representative Mark Anderson, and it's little parcels in the city of Pillager in Cass County being authorized to be conveyed to the city of Pillager. Section 22 and 23 of the bill is from House File 2599, Representative Barrett's, and its conveyance of tax forfeited property in Chisago County to the local units of government. Section 24 of the bill is from the DNR. This is a parcel in Clearwater County, borders Pine Lake, about 1.19 acres, and it's authorizing the DNR to sell the property as it's no longer needed for natural resource purposes. Section 25 is in Crowing County. It's from House File 2463, Representative Lewick, and it's authorizing the sale of tax forfeit property in Crowing County. Section 26 is from House File 2952, Representative Backer. It's authorizing sale of tax forfeit land in Grant County. Sections 27, 28, 29 are from House File 2837, Representative Anzel, and it authorizes sale of tax forfeited lands in Itasca County. Section 30 is from House File 3418, Representative Baker, and it authorizes sale of tax forfeited lands in Kaneohe County. Section 31 is from Representative Fabian. It authorizes a sale of tax forfeited land in Kitson County. Sections 32, 33, 34, 35, and 36 are from Representative Eklund, House File 2855. It's authorizing both sale of tax forfeited land in Lake County and authorizing two exchanges where it's accepting it, the land, from the riparian restrictions of the land exchange law. Section 37 is from the DNR. It's 240s in Lake of the Woods County. It's authorizing the sale of consolidated conservation land to the county. They're going to take the land over and continue to manage it as a shooting range. Section 38 is from DNR. This is in the northwest angle of Lake of the Woods County. and this is going to be conveyed to the county, and it's going to be proposed to be used as a park. It's on the northern tip of the northwest angle, and so you can see Canada from there. Section 39 is from House File 3015, Representative Erdahl, and this is Meeker County, and it's a little bit different. It's a tax forfeited land of parcels in the city of Dassel, and it authorizes the county to act as a common interest community owner for purposes of working through the issues that arose through the forfeiture and the restrictions that were on the land at the time. Section 40 is DNR, it's Mille Lacs County. It's once again the cemetery parcel. We're authorized to do a direct sale of the parcel for the cemetery expansion. Section 41 is DNR, it's in Olmsted County. This is authorizing us to convey this property to the local unit of government. It joins the Root River County Park, and that's going to be expanded for park purposes. Section 42 is from the DNR. This is a parcel north of Burnside Lake in St. Louis County. It's under lease to Cole College, and what this does is it accepts the riparian provisions of land exchange law, so we can exchange the riparian land for forest land. Sections 43, 44, 45, 46, 47 are from House File 3238, Representative Metza. It's a sale of tax forfeit land in St. Louis County, and they also have an exchange in here that relates to ZAC-ZIM 2, and it accepts the riparian restrictions and the peatland restrictions from the land exchange law for that land exchange. Section 48 is from House File 3426, Representative Lunan, and it's a sale of tax forfeit land in Scott County. And Section 49 is the effective dates. So the effective dates, the day following final enactment, so that the counties and the DNR may proceed with the land transactions. And Mr. Chair, that's the walkthrough of the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. As always, good job. You are the expert. Questions from members? I have one, Ms. Lewis. Maybe I missed it. One of the things that I was interested in was the removal of the designation of the land in holding on a parcel adjacent to Zippo Bay State Park.
Mr. Chair, that is in the bill, and that is under the deletions from state parks. So if you look on page 7, lines 29 through 31, that has the 240s being deleted from Zippo Bay State Park.
Yep. And then the other question that I would have is, generally speaking, the number of acres that we're looking at in this bill, can you shed some light on that for me, please?
Sure. The large acreage is, of course, from the counties with all the tax forfeited land.
Yep.
It's an estimate, but it's around 630 acres for the tax forfeited lands. And some of the counties have provided me values, and I looked in the websites. So we're talking about $3.2 million worth of tax forfeited land in the bill. Generally, they won't be able to sell all of that, but they do. But they do have it offered. The DNR acreage is generally pretty small. The steamboat loop is 21 acres. The Pine Lake parcel in Clearwater County is 1.9 acres. The Lake of the Woods for the shooting range is 80 acres. The park in the northwest angle is 160 acres. The Olmsted parcel is 1.56 acres.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning.
Good morning.
What the land in Beltrami County, what's the acreage on that? Maybe you said it already going through and I missed it, and I apologize.
Mr. Chair, members, I didn't give a specific acreage by county, but I have it in a note here.
If you have that.
Just a little.
The Beltrami is 50.52 acres, and it's worth about $886,000, according to the Land Commission.
Well, I can talk with you afterwards about where that is. I've had a question raised up from the Leech Lake Tribe about the location of that.
Follow-up, Representative Purcell?
No, not at this time.
Anything else? If not, with that, Representative Hancock renews his motion to pass House File 3401 on, as amended, and move it on to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Fabian. Next, we have the House File 3484, Representative Fabian bill. Representative Fabian, if you want to come forward. Members, we're going to lay this bill over. And then, Representative Fabian, you've got some testifiers. Might need another chair. Okay. And, members, you have some comments from a citizen from Park Rapids in your packet. I don't believe that citizen is here this morning, from a Jim Stengrim. Representative Fabian, welcome. Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 3484 involves land that's within a flood mitigation project, retention area, that's on the border between Kitson County in Roseau County, and it's referred to as the Klondike Comprehensive Water Management Project. And in essence, what we are attempting to do with this bill is to get some of the land that's under the control of the state and the DNR through either the school trust or just through some WMAs and so forth, to get that to be a part of the project. And Mr. Chair, with that, we do have an amendment that
Representative Fabian, the bill is being laid over.
Yep.
Has the amendment been copied, or are you the only one that? Okay, we haven't seen that.
Right.
Why don't we, Representative Fabian, have the amendment
copied?
Go to
the bill.
Does anybody have a? Do you have a second copy to talk about the amendment? Is the amendment critical to the discussion of the bill? Or can you discuss the bill?
I think Mr. Harnack can. He's got a copy of the amendment, and you can kind of discuss that. And
Mr. Harnack, if you want to identify yourself for the record,
thank you,
and talk about the amendment, and we'll see whether we're all willing to. I'm not aware of the amendment. If we're all willing to adopt the amendment, and if we're not, we'll have to wait till the bill comes back. But we'll see how the discussion goes. Representative Hansen and I will confer once the amendments. If we feel it's controversial or anything, we won't put it on, even though the bill's coming back. We'll wait for that time. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Harnack. Identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your...
Mr. Chairman, members, Ron Harnack, working with the Red River Watershed Management Board and the watershed districts in the Red River Valley. This bill is coming forward as part of the comprehensive clean water management project for the Two Rivers Watershed District. And the district has already acquired about 5,000 acres within this area. There are state lands in it. One parcel is school trust, and another is WMA. We have been communicating with Aaron Vandeland with school trust, and we believe we are in common understanding that we can find some areas to exchange the school trust that will provide for some long-term money to the school trust on land that the watershed district currently owns and has a grazing easement on it. So we feel that that seems to be a positive moving forward. On the WMA land, there may be some limitations because it could be purchased with also U.S. Fish and Wildlife lands. So what we're suggesting in an amendment is to delete existing subdivision 2 and to insert this language. Commissioner
Mr. Harnack?
Yes.
Excuse me. You better give us an overview of what the project, what the bill and the project is before you get it. You're getting into the nuts and bolts, and I'm still wondering what we're building.
Okay.
Mr. Harnack.
Mr. Chairman, then what I would like to do is turn it over to Dan Money, who is the administrator for the Two Rivers Watershed District, and can talk about what the project is.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Money. If you could identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Money. I'm the administrator with the Two Rivers Watershed District. Our office is located in Hallock, Minnesota, and we cover about 1,400 square miles in Kitson, Roseau, and Marshall counties. And I guess today, to talk about this project, the Klondike Clean Water Retention Project, it's located, Two Rivers Watershed is in the Red River Valley, which of course is, has severe and repeated flooding. And we have a strategy in the Red River Valley, all of the watershed districts and some of the other regional groups, to do a 20% flow reduction on the Red River. So we want to take the peak floods and reduce them by 20%. So that we have done studies and allocated to each individual tributary a certain amount of flood damage reduction that we want to accomplish. And this project, a large area of land became available, and we started on this Klondike Clean Water Retention Project. So the first thing we did was put together a project team, which consisted of various state agencies, local units of government, local citizens. There's DNR is on there, Bowser, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Natural Resource Conservation Service, county commissioners, and a lot of different landowners. We put together a project team which identified goals for this. One of them was the 20% flow reduction. It will have local benefits to Lake Brunson State Park. There's a dam on the two rivers at that lake, and the flood that comes often causes trouble with the operation of that dam. Downstream from there is the city of Hallock, which also has quite a bit of flood problems over the years. And so this will reduce, it'll store 37,000 acre feet of water. That, with the combination of the Two River Watershed, has also in the past put in over 9,000 acre feet of storage. So this project, combined with past projects, will take care of the allocation to the two rivers for that 20% flow reduction strategy. In addition, in working with the Department of Natural Resources, right adjacent to where we want to build this is a rich fen. And it's been described as one of the most important fens in the state of Minnesota, and possibly in the nation as well. So we're in the process of getting a plan together to do things to protect that fen and enhance it. Other things that are coming into play is significant water quality. I mentioned the downstream Lake Brunson State Park. That lake, pretty much by the 4th of July, gets so green with an algae bloom you can almost walk across the lake. So upstream of our impoundment is 143 square miles that drain into it. It's a combination of farmland, agriculture, some pasture, and there's also scrub and shrub areas, some CRP and things. But there's a lot of sediment that is conveyed into that Lake Brunson, and this project, being upstream of Lake Brunson, will be able to reduce a lot of the sediment, a lot of the turbidity, and take care of a lot of the nutrients that are loading into that lake. And then one other thing that we're looking at as well is what's called a moist soils management. And that will be a couple of habitat units within our impoundment that we're working with DNR to develop for waterfall. And that will be another size of the project is about 12. The footprint of the project is about 12 square miles. And we've purchased, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but we own probably 9 or 10 of those 12 square miles, approximately 5,000 acres. I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Thank you for that overview. Representative Fabian wants to go next in your continuing. Who wants to go next in your continuing discussion here?
I think DNR.
Should we get DNR up here?
Just as a point of reference, if you're curious to know where this is located, it's just north and east of Carlstead, Minnesota.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Thielander, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Paul Thielander, Wildlife Chief for DNR.
Go ahead, Chief, if you've got some comments on the bill before us.
Yeah, the amendment is before everybody right now, and the concerns that we had with the original language have been addressed by the amendment, so we view the amended language as favorable
Chief
to the project.
Thielander, nobody has really explained the amendment yet, and nobody here saw it until just now. So, Representative Fabian, who wants to explain what the gist of the amendment is? Do you want DNR to explain that? Mr. Thielander, none of us have ever seen the amendment until about 5 minutes ago, so if you can tell us how it relates to the bill and what's going on, because I'm inclined to not deal with the amendment now because we've never seen it, and when the bill comes back, unless it seems like universal acceptance to the amendment. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I think there's a lot in this bill, and I think it would be good to let things sit and see the light of day for a while.
Okay. We won't be dealing with the amendment, but I would like you to discuss and know what the implications are for the amendment, so when it comes back, we'll just have public opportunity for them to testify for or against the amendment, but we here in committee will at least heard about what the amendment is. So, Chief Thielander, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The original language in the bill, subdivision 2, where it deals with surplus land conveyance, that was an issue for us in DNR because we have federal aid interest in that land and we couldn't simply convey it to the watershed district because the Fish and Wildlife Service interest would have to be satisfied to do that, and there's a process for that. The amendment, as it's drafted, deletes subdivision 2, so we view that as favorable in this case, and then replaces it with the language there that you see in Subdivision 2, which says the Commissioner of Natural Resources, in partnership with the Two Rivers Watershed District, shall make recommendations regarding the disposition of the wildlife management land that's included in the Klondike Comprehensive Water Management Project, and the Commissioner must make the recommendation within 6 months after completion of the project's environmental assessment worksheet. So this new language would allow this process to work out when we determine disposition of those lands in cooperation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion, any comments for or against the amendment or thoughts on it? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Thielander. So the question there would be, you're making recommendations, but that is an affirmation that you would go forward with the exchange. Is that correct, or is it just, are the recommendations on how you'd go forward with the exchange, or is it still, is the decision still put off for a later moment?
Chief Thielander.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen. Yeah, this language would allow that decision to be made following the Fish and Wildlife Service review process. So there's a process they have to do a biological assessment and review the context of the issue here, and then they give a response to DNR, and then we'd follow whatever action that is. So this would put that off until that time.
Representative Hansen.
Until the appropriate time.
Mr. Chair, so maybe this is a question for Ms. Taylor. So if we pass the amendment and then pass the bill and it was signed into law, then we would be giving consent, or would it still be still have to come back? Would it just be recommendations, or would the commissioner, would this be enough for a green light on the project?
Mr. Harnack. Or Chief Thielander, do you want to make a comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I'd like to defer that to Steve Colvin. I wasn't. Mr. Harnack may have some comments too.
Go ahead, Mr. Harnack.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen, our objective through this is to have a decision made by the end of the EAW. We have a project that is on a reasonably tight time frame in terms of some of the other local dollars and commitments that have been made to the project, and we need to make sure that everybody stays on a strong schedule. And it's our belief that the way this language is written, that the decision would come after the AW is completed and the recommendations are forwarded.
Representative Hansen.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think this is why we need to have this sit a little bit. I'd like to get counsel, you know, actual legal interpretation as to what we're authorizing here.
Thank you. All right. If you want to identify yourself for the record, and if you've got some additional comments on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Steve Colvin. I am Deputy Director for the DNR's Division of Ecological and Water Resources. And I just wanted to point out that our agency and others have been working cooperatively with the Watershed District in the project development. One of the environmental review issues in play is that at this point, the Watershed District is unable to acquire land until state environmental review is complete, and so that's setting up some of the temporal concerns or potential concerns that Mr. Harnack was testifying to. And so we're trying to work cooperatively to make sure that these timelines all kind of fall into place together.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Was there on this property, or is it part of the whole project, where there was some prior litigation and arbitration relating to drainage and the fence? Is it on this property, or is it?
Chief DeLander.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen. Yes, it is correct. There was a court settlement with Kitson County and Minnesota DNR back in the mid-2000s, roughly. It involved laterals 12, 13, and 14 to State Ditch 72. If you see the map, I think you can see where those laterals lie. So there was a restoration done to those ditches in that court settlement, so those would have to be maintained through this project and factored into project development.
Thank you. Mr. Harnack.
And Mr. Chairman, you know, this Rich Fen is an important one. I think everybody believes that and understands that. The assessments that have been done on this fen from 10 years ago to today have shown a deterioration in that fen because there is not a very specific management plan to protect the long-term interest of it. And as an outgrowth of this project, there would be a partnered management to protect and enhance that Rich Fen going into the future. So I think that's an important thing to understand, you know, with this project. The area that we're talking about in terms of exchanging is 380 acres that relates to DNR WMA and 280 acres at school trust land. I think the school trust, and Aaron Vandalin can speak to that if he feels appropriate, if I misspeak, but I believe we are in concurrence with how we can address the school trust land for the benefit of the school trust. The wildlife area, the EAW and so forth, will have to define the specific options that would be appropriate.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe Mr. Harnack knows this, or Mr. Thielander. The WMA, was it acquired with game and fish license fees, or was it a transfer back in the day with Concon lands, or was it a tax forfeit? How did the land become WMA? Was it gifted or acquired or purchased?
Chief DeLander.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, the lands in question, it's 480 acres in Section 13. Those lands were acquired for wildlife management area purposes. And in addition to that, there is a 75% interest by the Fish and Wildlife Service through the federal aid program. So it's acquired land, Fish and Wildlife Service interest, and that'll be Fish and Wildlife Service interest will be satisfied as this project team moves forward with their meetings and discussions and formulation of the project design.
Representative Hans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when was it acquired, or?
Chief DeLander.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, was your question when was it acquired?
When was it acquired?
I don't know the exact date. We could look that up and get it for you. I don't know offhand what date it was.
Representative Hans.
I think that'd be useful. My concern here is, you know, what's the history of public money going into this over and over again, whether it's state money or federal money, or do we end up paying for things two or three times? I'd like to just see the history on that.
Mr. Harnett.
Mr. Chairman, and our objective as part of this project, we would hope that one of the options available would not have to be to purchase the land or exchange this land. If through our process we find that this WMA will have a better management outcome as part of this project than what is currently there, we feel that then it can be part of the overall management plan without any exchanging or selling. But that's what the project team will evolve to, and the EAW over the next year.
Thank you. Representative Fabian, did
thank
you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the question about some of the legal past with regards to lawsuit and so forth, according to Mr. Money, those have been addressed by the project team as well. So I think people are well aware of some of those things. I think the other thing to really keep in mind is, as has been mentioned, you know, the benefits to wildlife inside of these projects, when managed appropriately or correctly, is really quite significant. You know, they talked about enhancing a waterfowl habitat in this project. If you've been out to this area, which I have, and you've seen it, with all due respect to everybody that's involved, there's not much management going on at this time. And through this process, they're actually coming up with a management plan that's going to enhance wildlife. It's going to protect people from floods. It's going to improve water quality and do a whole host of issues that I think that are really, really important. So if we have any more questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I do like that Representative Fabian is praising government and working together and that it's helping. My one question is there any wetland credits intended or involved in this for mitigation?
Mr. Harnack or Mr. Money?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen, at this point in time, there are no wetland credits that are specifically identified. The land that we talked about, the 5,000 acres, has been purchased by the Watershed District. And going through the EA and the other processes, if we find an opportunity to provide wetland credits that can support the wetland road replacement program or others, we are certainly going to try to look at those options as well.
Thank you. Mr. Vandalin, I'm going to ask you to come down. Just I think we should get, just so you can acknowledge there's some school trust land involved here and what that issue is. You were mentioned, and as long as you're here, why don't we get that at this point so when we come back it'll be that much easier. Welcome. If you could identify yourself for the record and let us know what this project, how school trust land's involved.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you. I have had a number of conversations with Mr. Harnack on this proposal. I would say I have some I do have some concerns about some of the language that's in the bill, but I understand it's being laid over, so I won't bring those forward. But I will speak to some of the benefits for the school trust and really what we're trying to do in the school trust office is improve the school trust asset. And right now we're looking at a small parcel of land here in Kitson County that, from the school trust standpoint, has no economic benefit for the school trust. So the proposal that Mr. Harnack and the Watershed has put forward is actually exchanging those school trust lands for uplands that actually have an economic benefit right now through a grazing lease. And that, I believe, is an improvement for the school trust and its asset class. So you actually have some revenue coming off the lands then instead of just a swampy wetland.
Okay. Thank you. I don't see any questions for you, so thanks for that testimony. Representative Neuberger, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question I think it would be for the DNR on the bill. I just wanted a clarification. It would line 2.14, starting where with rich fen enhancement. The Commissioner of Natural Resources and the Two Rivers Watershed District shall, as a part of the Klondike Comprehensive Water Management Project, implement a cooperative rich fen management plan that provides for the long-term enhancement and protection of the fen. Long-term enhancement, I think that's a word that can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. I'm just curious if the DNR has had any, first of all, I'm just curious if there's any agriculture, if there's any farmers in the area who have wells that are irrigating to grow their crops to support their families. I was wondering if the DNR, if this would cause a well interference or if there'd be any issues with irrigators in the area or if you've had any feedback from the irrigator community.
Director, welcome back. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. The fen we're talking about in this instance is a rich fen, And so it's not regulated in the same manner as calcareous fens, which receive special protections, especially with respect to groundwater appropriations and groundwater impacts. On the question of if or how many wells there might be in the general vicinity, I do not know the answer to that. I would have to look that up.
Mr. Money, why don't you come forward? You've got some enlightenment there. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, there are no irrigation wells in that area.
Mr. Money, what about homes, farms nearby? What's the closest one to this location?
Homes and farms in this area, this area is located in a place, we call it the Big Swamp, it's referred to locally. It is on the Roseau and Kitson County line, and there are no farmsteads in the Years ago, there was some farmsteads there. There is probably in about a 4 to 5 square mile area around it, there are no farmsteads at this point in time.
Representative Newberg.
Thank you for the... I'm good.
Okay, good. Any more discussion? Representative Fabian, you want to give us some closing comments?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you folks, you can go on your computers and do your Google Maps or whatever and take a look at this area. It is a vast, vast expanse of swamp. So, anyway, you know, one of the things that got us going on this back in 2 summers ago, I believe, I was in Carlstead for a public meeting with regards to this project. And at that time, it was made known to me that DNR had intended to require the watershed to buy the properties from them in order to be able to complete this project. And at that time, I started raising issues about why can't the state of Minnesota become a partner in these projects and do all kinds of stuff that's a benefit to many, many different people and aspects and so forth. So that's why I got started on this. I was able to talk to the watershed. They favor it. We've gotten the DNR to come on board with the vast majority of that. You know, I talked to one of the Roseau County commissioners yesterday who was in my office. In Roseau County, 513,000 acres of Roseau County, and Representative Eklund, you know how this goes, are under the control of the state of Minnesota. We're asking for, I mean, if you do the math on this, the percentages here are infinitely small, infinitesimally small. And so that's why I got started. I just thought that the state of Minnesota should be a partner in this project and help us to advance this to the end. And I think it's a good project. So,
thank you, Representative Fabian. And to that point, as you know, and Mr. Harnack, I believe it's in the Roseau River watershed somewhere up there where we're doing one of these impoundment projects that we did last year. This discussion of partnering clean water money, habitat money, Lassard SAM specifically, and or clean water, LCCMR, to get dual benefit of water retention on the land and wildlife habitat. It's a kind of cooperation we need to have more of, Representative Fabian, and the significant water retention ability and water clarity and wildlife habitat are really great, and I think we need to do more of this kind of stuff. So thank you. Any further discussion? House File 3484 is laid over, and if and when it comes back, we'll take up the amendment at that time. Members, we're done till tomorrow. We're adjourned.